الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, it is approximately 2 months that we have entered the 1425 mark from the hijrat and from that great journey that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram had made from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. And presently, it is broad as daylight that the condition of this ummah, that ummah which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had cried for, had shed his blood for, and had made perpetual dua for, we are all very well aware that at this present moment, this very ummah is wounded, it is bleeding, it is suffering, and it is facing all types of trials, challenges and tribulations. There's no secret. Despite all this, we find that the ummah at different times and points attempts to defend itself, attempts to put up some sort of defense and some sort of challenge to the fitan and the tribulations that are lashing it. Very recently we have the debacle in Iraq, the continuous problems in Palestine and different parts of the world, and even locally we have a challenge in the form of the anti-terrorism bill and different types of legislations which are putting a challenge to the Muslim community. And alhamdulillah, the Muslim community also, to these challenges, responds. People go up in arms and they fight the different challenges and try to protect the respect and the dignity of this ummah. But the lesson that we will revise today is a lesson which has been revised very often in the past. And it is such a lesson that even if we revise it till the end of our lives and we learn the lesson, then inshallah there will be great benefit for each and every one of us. That is the lesson of application of the ahkamat of that wahi which came down upon Janabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was the lesson which Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had witnessed. They witnessed the wahi coming down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They saw the asar and the effects of wahi on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They also experienced the spiritual effects of the wahi of, that was descending upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they understood its application. Once Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the two very great caliphs of Islam, had come to visit Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was an elderly sahabiya. She was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the time of his birth. And she lived on after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. And it was a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had just left this world. And these two sahabis decided to go and visit Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha to console her and to say a few words. Whilst speaking to Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, She begins to cry, and she begins to cry profusely. And these two Sahabis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they console Hazrat Umayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, informing her that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this temporary abode. He has gone from this abode to a much better abode and has met Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. At this point, she explains to them and she tells them that it is not because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this world that I am crying, but the reason that I am crying is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the intermediary. He was the link between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the sense that the wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to come directly upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now that link has been severed. Now that link has been broken, and we no more have a direct link between Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and us. These two sahabis, listening to this and hearing what she has to say, they also begin to cry. This was the effect that wahi and the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had on the hearts of sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And they applied themselves to the fullest. And they understood that in application of the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be the success of each and every person. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum always kept in check that their desires, their own emotions, their own whims and fancies conformed with the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, this lesson has been forgotten by us today in many ways and in many aspects. That today this nafs and desire that we have within us has overtaken us to such an extent that we find that we not only have become subservient, but we have become completely subjugated to our nafs. That in whichever way our nafs dictates us to act and to perform, we find that we go in that direction. Whereas Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had an attitude and had an approach that if an ahkam or an order from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came down, then immediately it would have been sami'na wa ata'na, that the moment we listen to this hukam, the moment the law comes down, it is only ita'at and only obedience. Our pious predecessors also, the akabirin and the mashayikh, have stressed on this aspect. The nature of this aspect of the nafs and desire is so overwhelming that no single person till his last breath can ever be assured or can ever be convinced of having control of it. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh used to make specific reference to this. In a couplet he used to say, ke barosa kuch nahi is nafs ammara par e zahid, that is nafs and desire that we have within ourselves, we can have no reliance, no dependence on it at any moment, at any point in our life. Farishta bhi ban jaye, tab bhi usse badguma rehna. That is nafs and desire that we have lurking within us. Even if it becomes an angel, it becomes a farishta, it becomes totally subservient and subjugated to us, then too, we can have no reliance upon it. Tab bhi badguma rehna, we should still have a bad opinion of this nafs. Because it may just be that at the last point of our life, that this nafs overwhelms us and overtakes us and gets the better of us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us. Amen. Once Hazrat Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, Hakim ul Ummat, Mujaddid Millat, was sitting in the company of his disciples, of his murideen, and his personal attendant and very favorite murid, Hazrat Mawla Khaja Majzub, Azizul Hasan Majzub sahab rahmatullah alayhi, who was a famous poet, a very great shair, a very great academic, was sitting close by. And Hazrat Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayhi recited a couplet. And upon recitation of this couplet, Hazrat Mawla Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi expressed to him, and he told him, Hazrat Khaja sahab, if I had 1 lakh rupee, if I had 100,000 rupees, I would give you these 100,000 rupees as a gift in hadiya for this couplet that you have recited. And what were those words? Hazrat Khaja sahab says, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. He's expressing his inner soul, his inner self, the condition and the halat of his inner desire and his inner self. And he says, Har tamanna, dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Every desire, every ambition, every want and whim has left this heart of mine, has left this bosom of mine. And addressing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he says, Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Now that I have freed myself from every desire, I've freed myself from every ambition and want. Now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's love and ma'rifat can enter this heart. And the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can enter me. Respected friends, this was not a qal. It was not a saying. It was not just words. This was their hal. It was their condition. They experienced this. No desire that somebody even recognizes me as a successful businessman. Somebody recognizes me as a successful professional. Or somebody recognizes me as an alim of some standing. No desire in my heart that somebody even calls me Hazrat or somebody looks up to me in any manner. When a person reaches this level, then he qualifies for the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to settle within his heart. And it is the very same Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that the flame of ma'rifat and the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was burning so vibrantly within his heart, that on one occasion Hazrat Khaja Sahib is on the verge of boarding a train towards Thanabowan in India, and he realizes that he is overweight. Now in those days they had limitations on the weight for those people traveling by train, and it was a strict principle of Hazrat Mullah Shafi'i Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi that anybody that is carrying excess luggage and is coming towards Thanabowan, then that excess luggage should be paid for. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, knowing this and understanding his dilemma, he now boards the train. And he intends to pay for the extra luggage which he is carrying. And he informs the attendant, the person who is in charge of the train at that time, that I am in excess and I want to pay for it. The inspector or the station attendant at that point informs him, Hazrat Khaja Sahib, we know you. It's okay, you can continue with your journey, there is no need to pay. Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi insists that I need to pay for it, it is excess, and the money does not belong to me, it belongs to the government, I need to pay for it. This is a conscience that is built up within a person. When a person has the fear and the taqwa, fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala within his heart, and the taqwa comes to the fore. Nevertheless, he says, when I reach the next station, you will not be there. There will be another inspector at that station. What will I tell him? So this person informs Hazrat Khaja Sahib that no problem. I will speak to the next station inspector and you can continue. Then he says, what will happen at the next point? He said that there's no need to worry. I will sort you out right till the end of the journey. Right till where the train will stop, I will sort you out till there. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi tells him that I need to go further than that. And this person is puzzled and he started referring to Hazrat Khaja Sahib as somebody who is insane, somebody who is probably intoxicated. Na'udhu billah. And he tells him that there's no need to worry, you just continue. Hazrat Khaja Sahib insists that I have to go further than this. He said, where do you have to go? The train does not go further than that point. He says, I need to go to the station and the court of my Allah Ta'ala and I will have to account for all my deeds. And this is a consciousness, and this is something which we need to instill within ourselves. The fear of hisab and accountability. Standing in front of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to answer for each and every word, each and every sense, each and every deed, each and every action. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem has made it very, very explicit that the day of qiyamah, the day of hisab, is a very torrid day. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. That it will be such a day when close relatives, parents, children, will flee from each other. There will be no acquaintance on that day. يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. It will be a bitter day. It will be a day of great tribulations and trials. يَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ. It will be a day when faces will be enlightened. Not because of their complexion, but because of their a'mal and their deeds. And there will be faces which will be blackened, not because of their complexion, but because of the evil deeds. So Hazrat Khadija Sahib informs him, but he refuses. Eventually, when they reach the destination, Hazrat Khadija Sahib rahmatullah alayh alights the train, and then a thought comes into his mind. A person who has taqwa, who has a fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, will not let anything go past him. He ensures that he goes to the ticket office. He purchases a ticket, an extra ticket, which will cover the value of that excess luggage that he was carrying. And he takes the ticket, he tears it up, and he throws it into the bin, so that money will go towards the government. This is taqwa. This is the fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That when no one is watching, and when there is no accountability to anybody, then too, a person is conscious that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is watching, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will take a person to task. So this nafs of ours, as we had explained, that it needs to be under continuous surveillance, as we would say, continuous check, continuous inspection, that at all times, am I in the right direction, or am I going with the tide of my nafs, or am I going against the tide of my nafs? One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will assist us in applying ourselves as far as this is concerned. Today, we listen to talks, we listen to bayans, we listen to nasihat, alhamdulillah. But as far as application is concerned, then we find it stops there. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a prescription and has given a prescription or has given the solution to all our problems. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the recipe for najat and success. Man najat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to the sahabi in three sentences. Three short sentences, but this was sufficient for the najat and the success of that sahabi, and for every person who will implement this in his life. The first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, amsik alayka lisanak. That if a person is able to do this, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, man samata naja, that the person who has remained silent, he is able to guard and protect his tongue. He is able to gain control over his speech. Then that person is deserving of success, that person is deserving of Jannah. And this is a topic and a subject on its own. But as far as application is concerned, it applies to us every moment of our life. There are so many aspects to our speech. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise him something which is sufficient for him. That show me something which will be sufficient for me. I will not require further advice than this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises him that keep your tongue perpetual in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That remain always in the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this will be a protection for the tongue. The second advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the sahabi, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahabi that this home that you have, let this home be sufficient for you. Let your home be comfort for you. In other words, that the home should be the center point of all your activities. There should be no necessity to leave the home without any want or need. Today, unfortunately, we find that the Muslim Ummah and the community, especially in our country, have made the home as a place just to sleep and for certain activities, and the remainder of our time is spent out of the home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising the sahabi that let your home be sufficient for you. As far as your eating is concerned, as far as your family is concerned, make the home such a place that the home will be sufficient for you, and this will be sufficient for your najat and success. And the last advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahabi is, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. That even if you safeguard your tongue, and even if you are able to gain control over these two aspects, still, you should cry over your sins, and make continuous and perpetual repentance to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the reality of this hadith, and its application and implementation, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save us from the fitan which are facing us today. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.